answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Zelensky this afternoon to let him know that I was confident we're going to get that money to keep that country from being overrun by Russia. You know, there's so much at stake. I watched the television the other night and one of the other Republican candidates saying, I've never explained to the American people why NATO is so important. NATO is critical to our survival. NATO has held, we have never been able to avoid a European conflict. As long as there's NATO, we have allies. Allies that are competent and have defended us. And by the way, the only time Article 5 has been invoked is when we were attacked on 9/11. So the idea that we're going to walk away from Ukraine, the idea that we're going to let NATO begin to split, is totally against the interests of the United States of America.
Well, that is President Biden stating the obvious for all of us, yes. The fall of Ukraine would not be in the best interest of America, our democracy in general, or Europe. But he's missing the point purposely, and that is how much more are we going to continue to support Ukraine while we're not enforcing our border? We're worried about Ukraine's border, but not our border. And I'm willing to bet, I have no proof, I'm just going to make the clear bet here, there are a lot of Russian infiltrators coming across our border as I speak. And China, and North Korea, and various terrorist groups. The problem has been from the beginning. The Republicans made it clear, and thank God some of them are standing up and making sure that it's not just a threat, a bluff, but a fact. You don't get that money directly for Ukraine until we actually secure our border. It's as simple as that. And yet, it's got a lot of moving parts to it. Well, as always, I thank you for joining us. Here we are on President's Day. Did you go out and buy a mattress? Why is that, by the way? They put mattresses on sale every President's Day. Larry, I'm glad you asked that question. I happen to have the answer before we wrap up today. Glad to have you on board. Here we are, Feb 19, 2024. The first of 2 hours of Larry Connors USA, back-to-back for you. And, of course, when we're on the air, we are streaming video at News Talk STL Facebook, Twitter, Rumble is a big page. Also, Larry Connors USA Facebook, Rumble, Twitter. So it's available for you to watch while we're on the air here. And reminding you, if you miss anything, audio and or video, you simply go to Larry Connors USA Facebook or LarryConnorsUSA.com. Everything will be available for you. I encourage you to do so and then share with others. So this money being held up again that has Biden upset, and rightly so, because we have been giving a lot of money to Ukraine, but now this is over a $95 billion defense foreign aid package that they've been working on for some time now, and they just can't bring it up. I'm looking at a piece written by The Hill. The Hill, the publication that covers a lot of the politics on Congress, obviously on The Hill. It leans left, but it has some solid reporting as well. But I want to give you this view that they're pointing out, that one of the issues that they see, and I say they, those who are upset that the money isn't simply being passed through quindly, is with Senator Lindsey Graham. Architects, and this is the way they write it in The Hill, architects of the bill saw Lindsey Graham's support as crucial to mustering a majority of Republican senators to vote for it and apply as much pressure as possible on Speaker Mike Johnson, Republican of Louisiana, to push it through on the House. Graham voted no in the Senate. So the bill fell short of that goal, even though they did get 22 GOP votes in favor, and it is now likely, considered unlikely, I should say, to pass the House. Now, here's again what they're pointing out. Senators who thought Graham was on their side feel like he pulled the rug out from under them, especially after last year when he railed on the Senate floor about a budget deal including not a penny for the war in Ukraine. Some saw Graham as making a blatant effort to curry favor of former President Trump, who lobbied senators last week oppose the measure, deny President Biden a political win. One Democrat senator who was involved in strategizing for the Ukraine bill said Graham, quote, was supposed to be the guy who would work to double Republican support for the bill. The senator explained it this way. No, he's not named here, or I would have put it in front of you. I'm looking through the article, and they are just quoting a senator. They're not saying who it is. He said, the way it was supposed to work is, we're going to have 60 votes for the bill, including 10 Republicans, and Graham was supposed to bring the second 10 GOP votes. 10 were apparently already in hand. And then last week, he became part of the 10 that you could not count as possible yes votes. The senator added, Graham got sucked into the Trump orbit. He's so zealous about his own self-preservation in South Carolina that he literally would push his mother in front of a train to get where he needs to be. And the senator added, I hate to say it, but that way, but I actually like him, but I hate to say it. You know, there was a survey, a Winthrop University poll published back in October. Now, this is some months ago. A lot of things happened over that time. We're 5 months past that now. Showing only 30% of South Carolina voters approved of Graham's performance. And here's the key factor. That is a rating of only 1% higher than Biden had in South Carolina. That does not put Graham in very good company. So he's got to put some separation in there. And, of course, keep in mind, back in Feb 2022, Trump called Graham a rhino, Republican in name only. You're not really standing up for Republican values, specifically now, not just Trump, but the conservative caucus group. And Graham did, on the Senate floor, as they're quoting here, not a penny in this bill to help Ukraine defeat Putin. We need to send a clear message to Putin that when it comes to your invasion of Ukraine, we're going to support your loss. If we don't do that, we're going to snatch defeat out of the jaws of victory. And he raised so much hell, he got a commitment from Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer in New York and Republican Leader Mitch McConnell in Kentucky. There's somebody who needs to go. That they would not let the spending caps hold up an emergency defense spending supplement bill to fund Ukraine. And Graham even added to the brave men and women of Ukraine standing up against Russian aggression in defense of their homeland, help is on the way. But then the bill he opposed last week did include $60 billion for Ukraine. Now, $19 billion of that, closer to $20 billion, would actually replenish U.S. military weapons for the Pentagon's inventory, because we've been shipping it to Ukraine. Now we're short. Then it would add another $14 billion to help Ukraine purchase weapons and munitions from our U.S. industry. One of these speaking out against Graham, a Republican senator who helped put together the package, I don't know what Graham is doing, because Lindsey is a super smart guy. I don't know whether he's just trying to cover for Trump or what he's doing, but I find it worrisome. He is all over the map. I don't know what to do. And again, those senators speaking to the Hill, yeah, no name. Do not use my name. I don't want the repercussions. Just Friday, Graham was in Eagle Pass, Texas. And, of course, immediately from the left, you heard them crying out that this is a photo op. That's all it is. I guess you would compare that to when Biden and Kamala Harris went down to the border. That was a photo op as well. That's all they did. And they were looking at a sanitized version. But Graham stated, if you come here enough, you learn, and the best people to learn from are the ones who live here every day, tasked with doing the job in the local community. What did I learn? I learned the Senate bill had some good things in it, but was inadequate to the task, I thought. So that's why he's against it. So they can wring their hands inside the Democrat. Well, we thought Lindsey was going to help us push this over the line. If he did that, then Speaker Johnson would have so much pressure, he would also have to go ahead and go along with it. It ain't happening. Not right now. And it ain't going to happen, especially if you listen again to what Senator Rand Paul said last week and let it burn into your mind.
What we have here is a Ukraine first bill. This bill was never really about securing our border, but about securing another's country's border. What we have here is a failure of the elites of Washington on both sides of the aisle, the leadership in the Democrat Party, the leadership in the Republican Party. What we have here is a failure of these elites to understand that the American people want to put America first. 61% of Americans live from paycheck to paycheck, and they want to put Ukraine first. I want you to talk to your constituents at home, the ones who live paycheck to paycheck, and tell them why you're shipping $60 billion to Ukraine. This will be $170 billion. We have never before in the history of the United States flooded so much money into another country.
Think about that. Now, in the meantime, the deputy chairman of the Russian Security Council, who was also formerly the prime minister and president of Russia, Dmitry Medvedev, says that Putin has threatened Western capitals with the entire strategic arsenal of Russian nuclear weapons. Russia has amended its constitution, now considers Crimea, Donetsk, Luhansk, Kherson, Zaporizhia, all parts of Ukraine, now to be parts of the Russian Republic, trying to push the borders back to where they were before the Soviet Union collapsed. And he added, attempts to return Russia to the borders of 1991 will lead to only one thing, and that would be to a global war with Western countries, using the entire strategic arsenal of our state in Kyiv, Berlin, London, Washington, saying basically this would be an apocalyptic civil war, tens of millions of dead on each side. It is a sobering thought. On the home front, the judge's ruling against Trump and the punishment issued against him the other day, bringing it down, of course, basically the facts of the case is, well, a $355 million against judgment against Trump for apparently defrauding. No one got hurt by it. And at the same time saying that you can no longer do business in this state, on and on and on. Greg Jarrett, ABC legal analyst, analyzing.
Fox News legal analyst Greg Jarrett. Greg, all right, we've had the weekend to digest what happened on Friday. As you wake up Monday morning, how are you feeling about the $350 million and maybe the appeals process moving forward? Because there are a lot of people sort of chattering about this not perhaps standing for much longer.
Oh, I don't think it would, even though the highest court is occupied, the full court, by seven justices appointed by Democrat governors. But even they would look at this and say it's ludicrous, because under the law, Guy, damages must always reflect the measurable harm. Here there was none. Not a single person lost money. Nobody testified they were injured. Just the opposite. Lending banks made enormous profits. So, you know, how in the world you can use a consumer protection statute where the consumer has not been harmed is a legal mystery. You know, the bank executives testify they were never defrauded or deceived. This was a biased judge who happily bought into the contorted arguments of the Democrat attorney general who ran on the promise to get Trump.
And again, on that point, that's exactly where the attorney general ran her campaign.
This was an attorney general who, as I say, campaigned on a promise to target a specific individual and then spent a couple of years searching for an offense to pin on him. You know, when you campaign on a promise like that, when you prejudge a case that you don't even have access to the evidence and preordain an outcome, that is an egregious violation of the canons of ethics that govern prosecutors. And look, Donald Trump didn't prepare his financials. He hired professionals, top lawyers, accountants, real estate experts. They're the ones who did the valuations. Then the banks did their own due diligence, and they said, you know what? He has more than enough to secure the loans. In the end, they called him their whale. They wanted to do more business.
Right, more business,
nobody was harmed.
Nobody harmed. And in the next segment, my guest is the man many of you love to hate, John Lebouthière. His view of the judge's ruling, fair or not. But first, there's a backlash from another group. And if this holds together, it will be a massive issue for New York City.
Certainly, if truck drivers were to boycott New York City, the impact has the potential to be very damaging and very quickly. We're talking about supermarkets, big box stores, and other businesses that rely heavily on trucking. They would feel the pinch, and so would their customers. About 90% of communities here in New York City rely heavily on trucking to move their goods. This morning, we're on the Jersey side of the George Washington Bridge, and every day you can see hundreds, if not thousands, of trucks crossing the bridge from Jersey into the city. Meanwhile, one man is now telling truck drivers not to come to New York City after former President Trump was hit with that massive multi-million dollar fine last week. Take a listen.
I've been on the radio talking to drivers for about the last hour 15 minutes, and I talked to at least 10 drivers going the other way. I'm heading down from South Wisconsin, and they're going to start refusing loads in New York City starting on Monday.
Starting today, which of course is a holiday for many, so maybe you're not seeing the full impact. But here's another trucker pushing the same view.
It could shut New York City down. And, you know, I don't want to hurt the people of New York. That's not what I'm trying to do. But my part in it, if New York just loses 10%, just 10% of the trucks that go in there, their prices are going to skyrocket on everything from milk to eggs to any type of goods that the consumer needs. And when that happens, it's going to cost everybody more money.
And they got additional problems in New York City. The immigration issue is boiling over, especially in Harlem. And before this hour is over, a black radio host who's not for Trump suggests that Biden is still kind of a loser. But up next, John Lebouthière and his reaction to the New York judge ruling and that punishment against Donald Trump. Keep in mind, $355 million, and a lot of it has to be posted before appeals can begin. Punishment or persecution? Right or wrong? We'll hear from John and his views. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Pigeons, they are everywhere, and they're very good at dive bombing freshly washed cars. Wellington Environmental reminds you those droppings are more than a nuisance. They can be a major health issue, especially massive droppings on buildings or in parking garages. So who do you call to safely clean it up? You do what many hospitals, universities, public buildings already do. You call Wellington Environmental. Wellington Environmental has been dealing with all kinds of hazards for 35 years. Special people, special skills, special equipment. Wellington gets it done. So to avoid health issues ranging from pigeon droppings to mold to chemical leaks, contact Wellington. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. WellingtonSTL.com. Wellington Environmental. Your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps in the afternoon.
Horace, Americans individually have lost over $4,000 in income and over $7,000 where you have a household with both parents working.
It shouldn't be, if the economy stupid, we should just say, stupid! It's the economy. Unbelievable the devastation that Americans are feeling.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps, weekdays at 3:30 on News Talk STL.
What if everything you thought and believed to be true about owning and buying your home turned out to be wrong?
Straightforward, objective advice on the right way to make the most out of every dollar you put into your home.
We're the only country that has one of those. Most other countries, considering like Canada, the UK, they don't have long-term fixed-rate mortgages like that. They're all variable-rate mortgages.
HomeWise with Michael Midget, Sunday mornings at 9 on News Talk STL.
Great news for my sponsor, Napoli C. And it's no surprise to me, nor hundreds who have dined there. The first time I entered, it was clear Napoli C is unique. The decor, the fish, imaginative cocktails. And, of course, Napoli C is right next door to Napoli 3 in St. Charles. Napoli 2 is in Town and Country. The original Cafe Napoli is in Clayton. And I'm honored to endorse each of them. Visit any of the Cafe Napolis.
This is News Talk STL.
There's no place to hide down here. No place to hide down here. Went to the rock, got on my knees. I heard the angels weep for me. No place to hide down here.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Welcome back. My next guest, I know many of you say, why do you have him on? Well, because he's engaging and I like him as a friend and we have differences, but that's the whole point, folks. You don't always have to hate or be against somebody you have differences with. You discuss them out. If you're a patriot, that's my starting point for you. And this guy is a patriot. John Louboutier, former New York congressman, author of the book Harvard Hates America, a Reaganite, not a Trumper. John, welcome aboard again.
Thank you, Larry. Nice sentiment.
Well,
nice sentiments.
You.
And happy President's Day. I'm lying on my brand new gold-plated Donald Trump mattress.
You got it stuffed with cash?
It's stuffed with stolen cash.
All right, let's get into that. Now, you already have given me your view of this ruling, but this being ordered to pay really about $454 million in total penalties, claiming that Trump, his company, and others inflated assets to boost his net worth and get financial perks. Who was harmed by that?
The taxpayers of New York State.
Right.
Because he avoided taxes and fees and so forth.
On what? Taxes on what?
Property tax.
They inflated it to get a loan. Do you not know any other folks who've ever done that to get a better mortgage rate or anything like that?
I hear this is the Trump promoted.
No. It's my own view. Yeah. I've done it. I look for an appraiser that I think will give me a better deal.
You never ever listed a value 10 times higher than the appraisal.
The bank, if it does its diligence, would not allow it. You're right.
Right. And that's what he did repeatedly here, 10 times.
So who's at fault, the bank or Trump?
Trump knowingly filed false financial statements, knowingly used false information.
And the bank's not smart enough to catch that.
Well, that's a different issue. I don't care what the bank.
Well, no, it's not an essential issue.
No, they lend money, and by the way, one of the banks that lend them the money is a corrupt bank, Deutsche Bank, which has been fined billions of dollars worldwide for money laundering. I'm not going to go by them as any great judgment.
Mm-hmm.
But this argument about who is harmed, that's been settled by the trial. We had a trial, and Donald Trump was in the trial, and he put a vigorous defense in the trial. and was found liable, whatever it is. He was forced to disgorge all this money. And it's a pattern with this guy throughout his life. He's a fraudster. He commits fraud all the time. Not just in this case. How about Trump University? How about all the people, some of whom are listening
the Trump
to
University,
your show?
The Trump University is another case, and I have a lot of agreement with you on that.
But it's very similar, and it's the same.
It's not similar. It's not similar, John. But I will say that the judge, your Manhattan Supreme Court judge, Engoron, or how you pronounce it, I think he would agree with your statement, or you would agree with his, that Trump and his complete lack of contrition and remorse borders on pathological.
Yeah. And by the way, you know, at some point, Trump's going to need to realize, as we're now a month away from a criminal trial, the first of several, that his courtroom behavior in front of the jury will hurt him. They hurt him in both E. Jean Carroll cases where they had juries.
So tell me this, are they making a verdict then on facts or emotion?
I'm talking about the jury will be judging Donald Trump in every way. You ask anybody in these court in any court case, lawyers, defense lawyers, they all say the same thing, that the jury sees everything that goes on in the courtroom.
Correct.
And when a defendant behaves badly, disrespects the judge, disrespects the court, walks out during closing arguments, you know, just is too haughty and arrogant, it will hurt him among 12 average citizens.
Let me ask you.
And it did in the E. Jean Carroll case.
Let me ask you.
To the tune of $83 million.
Let me ask you. Does that seem like justice if they thought, well, he walked out. I'm just going to find him guilty because he walked out.
Well, we don't know that that's what they
did. Well, but that's what you're suggesting.
I'm saying that it all fits a pattern. He was accused of treating this woman terrible.
No. Let's stick with the case.
But I'm saying that how the defendant comes off, whether he's in the witness stand or at the defense table, it can't help but factor in to the judgment of a jury. In the case we just had, I don't understand it, Larry. Trump insults the judge to his face in the court.
That's
and on
contempt.
Twitter.
That's contempt. I agree with that.
Well, it's stupid.
I'm not going to disagree with that either. But where are the banks' obligations to their fiduciary to their investors? Where's the suit against them and going after them for cheating their investors and so forth?
I don't know. That's a different thing. I don't know.
Wow, Bob, you have two parties to this crime, John. If you're looking at it like that, the banks are a party to the crime.
Well, where did you go to law school?
I'm glad you asked. I did pass the LSAT, but I did not go.
Here's the thing. You are a member of a bar. It isn't legal bar, but you like time at the bar. I know that.
You're right. Go ahead. But the point is.
All I'm going to say is that these have all been civil cases, right? So starting on March 25th, we begin the first criminal trial of Trump, also here in New York State Court.
Okay.
And, you know, I don't know what Trump's behavior is going to be, but if I were his lawyer, I'd tell him, you know, if you want to get off, you better act humble in the courtroom, polite of the judge, and polite to the jury, and don't insult them with your behavior.
Maybe you should come in wearing rags, like I'm penniless.
No, you don't have to do that. I think they respect people if they're rich. I don't think that'll hurt them.
Well, let me ask you about that. Let me ask you about that, about the judge. Let's put the judgment aside. What about the punishment? The punishment, does that fit the crime? I mean, when you come up with a $355 million to get rid of and totaling something like $454 overall, the penalties, $98 million in prejudgment, a 9% annual rate, plus you can no longer do business in this state under your actual name and you yourself. Does the punishment fit the crime? I mean, are we taking a guy that, yes, he's DUI, he should be locked up for that, but he didn't hit or kill anyone, and we're going to put him to death?
Right. Well, they didn't put them to death. And
financial death, it could be. That's what they're trying to do.
Well, no. In the verdict, in the finding, the judge said, Trump is not Bernard Madoff. But he did this stuff, and as you read, showed no contrition whatsoever, which is a problem. It's always a problem when you're appearing in front of a judge if you continue to deny that you did anything wrong. It really irks judges. If you say, you know, I realized the error of my
But that's
way
not a reason that you be hit, not just once, but repeatedly, because the judge got offended. And if that's the issue, he goes for contempt to court.
It's not
punishment like this.
It's not that the judge got offended.
Well,
it is that Donald Trump and his three children, all of whom testified in the case, in every each time when they testified, they acted in a way that the court found showed they wouldn't accept that they made any mistake whatsoever.
Okay.
And they dug their heels in on this thing.
Which what you're going to as a defense. You're going to.
Not necessarily. Usually you don't. Usually in a civil financial case, you negotiate a settlement. You say, you're right, I overvalued it, I apologize, I'll pay back taxes, blah, 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 whatever it is.
You might.
And get out of the
thing. You think that would have done it? Because here's the thing, Attorney General Letitia James, without seeing any facts of the case, ran her campaign, now, I will nail Donald Trump's scalp to my door.
Well, that's not exactly what she said. But
well,
she
no, not
say,
exactly, but you know she said, I'm out to get him, and I will get him.
She did say she would prosecute Donald Trump.
And had no
and
facts.
20,
had no facts of the case.
No,
she had no facts of the case at the time. They didn't spend all this time reaching this point.
All of this case was already public from the earlier attorney general, Eric
Schneiderman. And Cy Vance turned it down, said there is no such case here.
No, Cy Vance is the Manhattan district attorney. Letitia James is the New York State attorney
general. But Cy Vance of Manhattan turned it down, right?
He turned down the criminal case against Trump on this stuff. This is a civil case that he was always a part of and agreed to go ahead with.
Well, so then what about all the
separate cases,
okay.
Two separate cases on the same issue.
Now, I'm sure there's some lawyers out there listening thinking, Larry, you're not asking the right question. So I will agree that probably I'm missing something here. But I do still come back to why are the banks not being held responsible for the denial and hurting their customers and clients and their fiduciary? Why are they not?
Why don't you call Albany?
I'll tell you why.
Call Letitia James's office.
What are you asking me for? Well, the answer is, I'm putting it on you. The answer is, they're not named Trump. Now, another thing, real quick. How are you going to survive now if the truckers shut down New York City, John? Of course, you don't live in New York City.
I live on Long Island. I'll survive it. I don't think they're going to shut down anything. I think they're more a bark than bite.
Yeah.
And I think the more noise they make that they're not driving to New York anymore, if I'm hiring these truckers, I'm firing them.
I'm not hiring.
I mean, first of all, a truck driver, yeah, he has rights or she has rights. All into it. But they don't have the right in a job to say, I refuse the job because I don't like New York City. Screw you.
Afraid to go into New York City. How's that play?
No, there's no reason to be afraid. New York.
Oh, John! Then that's why you're living in Long Island, right? Hey, John, as always, thanks for your time.
Thanks, Larry.
You bet. Back to your mattress. John Labutier. Coming up, the problems in New York City. Stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
I got an email which brought a smile. A woman named Mary wrote me, "We are purchasing a new roof from John Beale based on your recommendation." I thanked her then. I do it again now. Mary, I only endorse clients I believe in, and I've been a spokesman for John Beale for 10 years. It's all about trust. So if, like Mary, you need John Beale, trust me. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
I like supporting local companies that give back to the community. For more than 40 years, Vincent's Jewelers has helped raise more than $1.5 million for local charities. So I'm personally asking that when you're shopping for jewelry, give Vincent's a chance. And in turn, Vincent's will give even more to our community. On Olive, just east of 270. New specials every day on vincentsjewelers.com or Vincent's Facebook.
News, analysis, opinion.
USA, USA! That's a big game, man!
She's really losing control.
People in China didn't ask me about people mowing each other down in a mall.
This is News Talk STL.
It is their responsibility.
Hate is a metastasizing agent.
We're all keeping a close eye on this.
Legal immigration is crazy right now.
This United States is not being overrun.
News Talk STL.
It is a crisis at the border without question.
At NewsTalkSTL.com.
McGuire Moving will come to your home or office and give you a free, honest appraisal. Not over the phone. That way you won't be shocked come moving day. Really tight budget? McGuire will offer advice that could save you even more money. McGuire, fully licensed and insured, also has climate-controlled storage for you. McGuireMoving.com. It's that simple. Just remember, you're moving anything, anytime, McGuireMoving.com.
This is News Talk STL.
I said, brother, if you only knew, you'd wish that you were in my shoes. You just keep on using me until you use me up. Until you use me up.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
The Biden administration is throwing their electric vehicle mandate into reverse due to election year pressures. Remember when this was Team Biden's favorite tune?
First crack at the new and different jobs for electric vehicle.
This sucker's quick.
How's it drive?
The future is electric, moving toward it at lightning speed.
Thousands of union workers here and across the country are building the vehicles of the future, the batteries that will power them, and the chargers that will support them.
Not so fast, Mayor Pete. Under pressure from the United Auto Workers Union, who withheld their endorsement of Biden until he caved on this, the Biden administration is set to slow their electric car mandate for manufacturers. The New York Times reporting, the change comes as President Biden faces intense crosswinds as he runs for re-election. While trying to confront climate change, he's aiming to cut carbon dioxide emissions from gasoline-powered vehicles. At the same time, Mr. Biden needs cooperation from the auto industry and political support from unionized auto workers.
Well, that's a Fox Business report. Now, let me get this straight here. Biden, who claims that climate change has to be resolved, it's major. I think he's listed it as an existential threat against America and the world, just as he has Donald Trump, and maybe more so than nuclear weapons. But it's not so important that I can't change my direction so I can keep some votes I need. Am I getting that right? Is that what you would call a sellout? A little barter deal? A give up? As Ford Motor Company the other day, and one of the reports on them said they're pumping the brakes on EVs because sales are dropping off. I'm looking here at a report from reference LA Times. For the first time in more than a decade, electric vehicle sales dropped significantly in the last half of 2023. There are even signs Californians might be growing tired of Tesla, or at least weary of its outspoken spokesman, Elon Musk. In the state of California, Tesla sales fell 10% just in the final quarter of the year. Now, do you think they're walking away from a great car and something you really want because they don't like Musk? No. Is it because there might be problems and issues with it? More than likely. But it would be up to the individual. Now, if you ask why they're falling short, Fortune magazine pointed out, based on our research, most Americans, are you listening, are anxious about the vehicle's range. They also worry about sticker prices, insufficient financial incentives to buy electric, too few choices. It's economics, baby. Follow the money, right? Remember that line? It's the money, stupid. That is part of this. But for Biden, who's all about climate change, we got to do this. We got to do this. But if it means I'm going to lose some votes I need, automakers who would lose jobs, well, then maybe I'm not in such a rush to push you into an EV. Oh, I've got several things I want to go down on the line of this one. Let me take this one here first. They've got so many here. This one is from Politico. And again, Politico leans left, but again, can have some legitimate pieces. Title in Politico, under Energy and Environment, federal agencies scramble to finish Biden's rules and protect his legacy from Trump. Two things there. More than two, but let's focus on this two to begin with. They're trying to rush his rules through and make them permanent before he's out of office. And more importantly, his legacy, because they feared Trump was going to win. Green groups don't want negotiations or rather regulations to fall prey to rollbacks as they did when Donald Trump won the presidency. That's the underlying headline. So they're suggesting, no, we're not talking about this time. We're talking about previous. Well, then why do you need to rush it if you're sure he's not going to win? I know that game. You do too. Goes on to say President Joe Biden's allies are getting antsy about his administration's pileup of unfinished environmental rules, especially with the threat that his second Trump presidency could undo all of them, which would include the border. I'll point that out to you right away. And they're now saying Biden's agencies are facing a deadline this spring to finish some of their most important regulations to ensure that a Republican Congress and White House cannot erase them next year, including a crackdown on power plants, climate production, pollution, protections for endangered species, a bid to protect federal employees from politically motivated firings. Complicating matters is the fact that the deadline won't be known until months after rules are completed. And advocates, again, this is from Politico, advocates of tougher environmental regulations watched as then-President Donald Trump used a previously seldom invoked statute to unwind more than a dozen of the Obama administration rules in the opening months of 2017. What did Joe Biden do to the first day he was in office? Executive order, executive order, executive order. Shut down Keystone Pipeline. Stop the wall building in Mexico along the border and numerous others. Don't act like that's something new and done only by Trump. Maybe they need to turn their attention, though, to Joe Biden, based on what I was just telling you and you were hearing in that news report. He's beginning to realize, I really need those votes, so I'm going to have to slow down on pushing EV production, which means we're going to have to continue to use more fossil fuels and so forth for a long time to come. Deeper into this political piece, during his first term, Trump shocked environmental advocates. I don't know why they consider they were shocked. Shocked environmental advocates and former Obama administration officials, many of whom had been banking on a Hillary Clinton presidency. When he and the GOP-controlled Congress used the 1996 Congressional Review Act to trash more than a dozen Obama-era rules. Well, Even Obama said, elections have consequences. There you go. Perfect example. I'm looking all the way down here. They got some other pieces when it comes to energy. They're watching several big efficiency standards expected soon from the Energy Department. One of them, of course, the much-debated efficiency requirements for gas stoves. New regulations for clothes washers and dryers are expected immediately. You might see those and rules regarding your home water heater by April. And the DOE expected to issue efficiency regulations this year for dishwashers, ceiling fans, consumer boilers, vending machines, electric motors, commercial ice makers, and other appliances. But while they're doing that, Joe Biden over here is saying, you know that EV deal, we don't have to push that because I won't get those votes. So which is it, Joe? Which is more important? The environment? And the future and the health of our nation and our world? Are you getting your votes? Oh, I think we've seen it and we know it. We know what you're doing. You're exposed fully. And it ain't pretty. In the meantime, you got Trans Health Secretary Rachel Levine claiming climate change disproportionately affects mental and physical well-being of black Americans. I don't know if you were on camera then. Probably not, because he was just getting ready to take a bite of his pizza and stopped mid. Just as I said, it disproportionately affects mental and physical well-being of black Americans. He just stopped. What? I mean, this. I guess they think they'll pick up more votes like that. She's, of course, a 66-year-old transgender Biden official that wears the admiral uniform because they give her the title for it, blah, 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 blah. But basically she says directly, climate change is having a disproportionate effect on the physical and mental health of black communities. Black Americans are more likely than white Americans to live in areas in housing that increases their susceptibility to climate-related health issues. Climate or environmental conditions in the housing. Rats, mold, things of that nature. That's not the general climate. And yes, I would agree to, if you say that. Social media user obviously slamming her for making wild claims about climate change, and I would have to agree that she did. But one user incorporated a laughter soundtrack into a piece of video showing it looked like a Saturday Night Live sketch. Another one said, I grew up and worked in predominantly black communities. Never once have I heard a black person express concern for climate change. But, here's a black man that I wonder what he would think if he's been affected by climate change. Charlemagne the Lagarde. He's a black radio host that Biden told directly, man, if you're not voting for me, you aren't black. He said that to a black man. Well, he did vote for Biden because he chose Harris as his VP. But now Charlemagne says Biden is still falling short against Trump. Coming up.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want to give someone something which they will really enjoy? Give them a Cafe Napoli gift card. You pick the amount, and they pick which of the Cafe Napolis they want to visit. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Cafe Napoli in Town and Country, Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles, or right next door, Napoli C. The Napoli gift card. It's the perfect gift for anyone, or your entire office. Cafe Napoli. Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So I feel like my audience is America. And when when I'm out and about, just, you know, walking in the street, or people are calling into the radio station, like nobody is inspired, you know, by the upcoming election. Like, you know, I nobody wants to see the rematch between, you know, Biden and Trump. And that's what makes me feel like the couch is going to win.
Why?
This is the first time in my life when people say things like, you know, this person is a threat to democracy. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely true. And it's mind-boggling to me that, you know, nobody is taking it as serious as I feel like they should. Like, we watched an attempted coup of this country happen on January 6th.
Well, I'm going to have to disagree with Charlemagne Lagarde there, as he appeared on Sunday on ABC's This Week with co-anchor Jonathan Carl. January 6th was not a revolution and an overthrow of the government. And he went on to say, and they were looking at like it was nothing bigger than a teenager's college kids running wild on summer break in Florida. But let's put that aside. We have a disagreement there. But what he did point out in the beginning is, I've never seen so many people disinterested in seeing another Trump-Biden rematch. And then he added that Biden is, and I'm quoting, is just an uninspiring candidate. Like there's nothing about Joe Biden that makes you want to listen to him. Once again, Charlemagne.
He should be leaning on people who are more inspiring than him, who are more charismatic than him, and he should just be, I guess, if you want to call it, the brains of the operation behind the scenes. Like, that sounds crazy that we're saying that about a president of the United States of America, but he has no main character energy at all. None.
And what is that? Is that age? Is it the way he is? I mean, what's the problem?
I don't think it has anything to do with age. You know, I think it has just everything to do with him. Like, Donald Trump is, what, 4 years, 3 years younger than President Biden? But he just comes off a lot more youthful. He comes off, you know, like he has a lot more energy. And I always say this about them. Donald Trump seems more sincere about his lies than Joe Biden does about his truth.
That's a good line. I disagree with it, but it's a good line. Trump is more sincere about his lies than Biden is about his truth. I disagree with the comparison. I would switch it. Trump is more sincere about his truth than Biden is about his lies. But let's put that aside. What's the reaction from the White House? Well, he's getting blowback. He admitted that, yeah, I am getting blowback. He said, simply because I criticized President Biden, they're giving me, let me see the exact quote here, and I'll have to cut it down a little bit, reference to the audience and our basic license, I would say. When he was asked, are you getting blowback from the White House for you making these remarks about Biden publicly? Because he's done it previously on his radio show. He said, yeah, and I think that's the stupidest stuff ever, because I think that because I feel like you should be able to criticize whoever your elected official is, right? Amen. You're correct, sir. That's exactly correct in this nation. And then he adds, and even if I do criticize them, and I'm criticizing them because of what I see coming up in November, I see what we're facing. So what I'm saying to them, where's the sense of urgency? You can't keep saying that there is a threat to democracy and democracy as we know it is going to be gone, but not act like it. I told you earlier I would tell you why this President's Day is always a great day for mattress sales. MarketRealist.com says they started launching these campaigns in Feb to cash in on buyers maybe with tax refunds and wanted to buy something out of the ordinary. So if they had a tax refund, they might spend it and buy a mattress right away if this was a day for sales. That's why they started making Mattress Day is President's Day. Have you gotten a big refund yet? Did you buy a mattress? They say they're only good for 7 years, supposedly. I'm willing to bet more than 90% of us have mattresses older than 7 years. Don't tear the tag off, though. That's a violation. Coming up at the second hour, the New York immigration issue boiling over. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.